I told Malaika last week, I said, you know, I really like those songs that, you know, the affirmation songs, the simple songs. I really need to start writing stuff like that. So I guess it was Wednesday morning, I was walking the dog, and this little melody just came into my head. And when I do walk the dog, I take from Mona's page when she says she goes out every morning with a cup of coffee, no matter what the weather, and just says, it's a beautiful day. So my intent as I'm beginning my walk is just to think of, you know, what I have, what's in front of me. So this is what this is. It's kind of a tool to remember what it is that we have and who it is that we are. And it's called Just Say Amen.
I was beautiful, Bonnie. And now it's time for our very own Reverend Connie Beth Grady.
Well, this morning, before I ever got out of bed, I woke up to a song myself, but it's a familiar song to all of you. And but I haven't heard it for quite a while. The song, sing a song, sing out loud, sing out strong, sing of good things, not bad, sing of happy, not sad, no matter if it's not good enough for anybody else to hear, but sing, just sing a song. It took me back to some of my beginnings and some of my tragedies, both at the same time. And in this day and this time, with all of the tragedies that seem to be going on in the world and between races and what's good and what's bad and why does this happen and all of these things, it started me thinking the last few days about a lot of this. And so it took me back to a time, this song, when my first husband had passed away, no life insurance, and I had two and a half little kids, because I was 4 months pregnant. And I was very new in metaphysics, and I knew that before long, I probably wouldn't be able to work a whole lot. So we would sing this song every day. But it also, I thought, in this song, it held us up. It held us together. It's that reminder of looking at the good things and not the bad. And then this morning, I happened to turn on the Oprah Winfrey channel, and I just in time for Soul Pancakes. And they had an experiment. They gave these people a picture frame. And they told him to go about the city, I presume it's New York City, I don't know, I didn't see the whole show, and to look at what you're visualizing in that picture frame, but to make sure it's beautiful. And they showed it, the camera, and when it's all framed, it was just astonishing at the beauty you can see if you choose to frame it and just look at that. It also reminded me of a time just before my husband had passed away. I was telling Greg before that we had hired someone to come and put something that these kids don't know about, a TV antenna on top of our roof. And he did a terrible job. And he took us for money. And we weren't too happy about it. And yet, in a couple of weeks from there, I had the tragedy of an unexpected death. And it was about a couple of weeks after that, I'd been working in the garden, and I stumbled over some tool out there and broke my toe and ended up in the emergency room. And while I was waiting to be x-rayed, I saw this poor man in a wheelchair, and he was falling out of the wheelchair, and there was no one there to help him. He was all alone waiting to be x-rayed. And I looked up, and it was that very man who had taken us just a few weeks before. And I said, "Whatever happened to you?" And he said, "I fell off the roof." And nobody was there with that man. And my compassion went out to him. Now, one reason my compassion went out to him is because I had just gone through sorrow myself. You see, that makes us very compassionate. That makes us very tender-hearted. I felt for that man. I called help for that man. You see, in life is mysterious. And sometimes we all learn more from our sorrows than anything else. In our affirmation, in what we believe, we say, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Well, what that really means, we've all been hurt, we've all had tragedies, and when you really have been broken, you and it really means something to you, you have lost, hopefully, all of your potential to harm, but you lose that need to harm somebody or to judge somebody. You have compassion along that field. And two again, it reminded me of a time when my parents were killed in a car wreck. And, you know, there's one thing I can say. We can be victims as long as we choose. But we finally get sick and tired of ourselves. We reach out beyond something to get an answer because we don't like being there. And I remember I didn't like liver. And so they chased me all over the house. And normally if I had hidden my little bits of liver in the mashed potatoes and it was found, I grew up in a foster home. And usually that meant you got slapped, kicked around. This time, I ran upstairs, and there was a circle around the stairs. I ran downstairs, ran upstairs, being followed. And one day, I was 12 years old, I stopped. And I said, don't hit me anymore. Don't hit me anymore. I was never hit again. You see, part of life is realizing, maybe by mistake like I did, that we have a power within us that overcomes some of the circumstance around us. And once that changed, I changed somehow. There was no fighting, there was no resistance. Everything changed because I decided I didn't want it anymore. But I still had the sorrow. So, of the loss. So one day, to get away from the vibration, because it's very difficult to come from one vibration into another vibration. When we grow up in a vibration, we're familiar to that, even if it might not be a perfect vibration. But I longed for answers. And in my sorrow, I climbed an apple tree in the apple orchard. And I would sit up there and pray, please God, help me find out why is everything going on? What are the answers? What is it? Why the struggle? And I remember it was in the spring, and there were apple blossoms on that tree, and there were bees flying, bzzz, and I was a little afraid. And the thought, I started hearing voices, I started hearing thought voices, that there's good and bad in everything. Just like the bees that were pollinating those blossoms so that we could have the beautiful apples. But we interfered in their life and frightened them, then would be stung. And I got the thought at that age, you get back what you put out. It matters not what someone else does to you. Be humble, be kind. Do what you need to do. Well, I've told this story before. You know, I thought I was like Johnny Appleseed then. I was receiving all these things until one day I told. And they go, oh, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Well, you see, we can't listen to someone else. I did. And so I dismissed it for a while. But all of us, there is a responsibility that we have for our own actions and our own life, everyone on this earth plane. It matters not who your God is. It matters not what your religious faith or race or creed is. We're all responsible for our own actions. And when we've gone through enough sorrow, you begin to pour your heart out for answers. And let me tell you, it's like when the master said, knock and the door will open for you. If you really need an answer, knock on that door of your heart and listen and be true. We see the sign of the cross. There was a kind of a discussion of class on Wednesday night. And someone said, I wish the churches would do more in what is going on in the world today. We need to band together and do more. What I say is, we don't need to band together and do more. We need to start living that faith and that knowledge that we have and start treating everyone with love and respect. Because that's the only way the world is going to change. That's the only way your neighborhood's going to change. That's the only way anything is going to change when we do our part. Someone asked Buddha, what does nirvana feel like? What is it? What have you discovered? He never told. He said, you have to experience it to understand. Now, in all the tragedies that have been going on, I have noticed in shopping in this wonderful Durham County, I love it with all of the nationalities. I love it, this beautiful quilt that we live in. I can tell you from all kinds of people, I felt an humbleness. I felt a respect. I felt a response. Yes, this is going on here. This is going on there. But I want to respect you, and I want to guide you. I want to love you. I want to understand you. You see, we might all look different, but you take away everything else, and we're all children of that universal God, that God energy that's within all of us. And as you grow spiritually, as we grow spiritually, you cannot do it if you don't put it into practice. You just plain can't do it. You can't be a Sunday Christian and go home and say some of those things you used to say. It just doesn't work. But I do believe, and I do have faith from being out there. I feel the tenderheartedness of people. I feel the respect. I feel the connectedness. And when we can say, I love you, no matter what. I love you. I love that Christ, little budding Christ within you, no matter what you do. It changes. You see, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of us. That doesn't change my life. But how I think of the people out there and you out there, that is my life. And that is my responsibility. The same as it is with you. When we learn not to judge, but to accept and to realize there are lessons going on in the world for all of us. These are lessons for all of us to be kind, to be understanding, to help those people who are going through sorrow. If you truly have gone through sorrow, and someone has enlightened you in just the tiniest way in something you need, you will never, ever forget that person. You will never forget that person. I believe you will never forgive that person, no matter how many lifetimes you live, because that's what it's all about. In one of our national conventions, several years ago, unfortunately not, it's the national convention that we used, organization that we used to belong in. And at that time, they wanted to take off the sign of the cross. They wanted to take away the Bible and the pictures of Jesus. And oh, was there ever a fight going on? And one day, our minister wrote a little piece about what the cross actually stands for. You see, most churches think it stands for suffering and shame. But it stands that there is life after death, and the stations of the cross mean, by spirit, love over hate. If we love more, it eliminates hate. And faith over fear. To have faith in that knowledge that no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, as long as we do our best according to our knowledge, our conscience, because we can never do better than our best. We haven't grown there yet. It's doing the best today. Then we begin to grow in that knowledge of really what a great gift that faith is. Knowing that no matter what disease, no matter what tragedy, that God energy is there, and those spirit angels are there with us to hold to us, to abide with us, because somewhere there's a lesson in it for us. And that is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that indwelling with us is that love and that stamina and that Christ energy of that budding God source that we have. But until we experience the sorrow, we don't think about even looking in those ways. It's not needed. So all of you here, just know that those things that we have lived through that seem like sorrowful things, those things that seem like they've been unjust to us in some way, they're really kind of lighting a path for us to follow. And maybe there's a lesson in it for us. But I came across a poem that I would like to read to you by Ella Wheeler Wilcox, wonderful metaphysician. Your path may be clouded, uncertain your goal. Move on, for the orbit is fixed for your soul. And though it may lead into the darkness of night, the torch of the builder shall give it new light. You were, you will be. Know this while you are. Your spirit has traveled both long and afar. It came from a source. To a source it returns. The spark that was lighted eternally burns. From body to body, your spirit speeds on. It seeks a new form when the old one is gone. And the form that it finds is the fabric you wrought on the loom of the mind with the fiber of thought. Somewhere on some planet, sometime, and somehow, your life will reflect all the thoughts of you now. The law is unerring. No blood can atone. The structure you rear, you live in alone. As dew is drawn upward in rain to descend, your thoughts drift away and in destiny blend. You cannot escape them, for petty or great, or evil or noble, they fashion your fate. From cycle to cycle, through time and through space, your life with your longing will ever keep pace. And all that you ask for and all that you desire must come to your longing as flames out of fire. God bless you all. Thank you for that one.